Okay, we're gonna call the meeting to order. We can't do anything official because we don't quite have a quorum yet. It looks like we're getting a little closer here as, there's quite a few other committees going on right now. We've moved the agenda around a little bit. Kelly Medor is up and then on deck is, Willie Dominguez, Representative, Dominguez. And then we'll move agendas and other stuff later on, or minutes. Representative Medor? Dakota County Representative Medor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, yes.
Why don't you go ahead and, tell us about your bill and if you have any testifiers or, and then we'll kind of go from there.
I do not have any testifiers, Mr. Chair. This is a pretty straightforward bill. We heard it in the property tax, the property tax committee, and basically what this is it allows the department to continue with investigations regardless of whether or not the homeowner has filed a lawsuit. What makes this important to a homeowner is that this is straight consumer protection as basic as we can get. We have a state agency that is set up and prepared to assist to determine whether or not a building code violation has occurred. That helps the homeowner to determine whether or not there are grounds for us to move forward with a lawsuit. So this just gives them the opportunity to do that. Did we need to move it? I think we needed to move it.
I don't know that. Can we move it? We actually can't, I don't believe. It was nice. Any questions for the author of the bill? Representative Simpson, thank you very much, by the way, for having a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and due to the fact that we don't have anything to talk about, we'll talk about the bill a little bit.
Oh, here.
Does the department have a lot of claims now that they're watching on an annual basis, or do they follow up on these, or just exactly what's going to change?
Well, actually, all it does is it gives the department the flexibility now to make the demands on the city code inspectors. Often what happens is if the department is investigating a claim, they'll go forward, they'll make a phone call. The homeowner is putting a lot of pressure on the department to complete their investigation. We get to a point as a homeowner that we have to file a lawsuit because our statute of limitations have gotten to that point. At that point, when they call for the city inspectors, they say, well, we're sorry. Lawsuit's been initiated. There really is not much more investigation we can do. As a homeowner, you're stuck now having to pay for somebody to come in and check to see if those code violations had occurred. So what this does now is it allows a concurrent investigation by the department along with the lawsuit filing to give the homeowner the information they need to move forward. The department, I have to tell you, I was very surprised. They were very satisfied with this. They didn't see really any problem with them doing it. And many of them, the biggest concern, they came back to me and said, you know, next year we should probably look at city code inspectors and being sure we have enough of those. But the department was fine. We had Mr. Dernberger from the department come and testify in the property tax committee.
Okay. And I guess just one other comment, they feel they'll be able to handle this with the amount of people they have, and there's not a physical cost that'll be passed on.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. I'm waking up here.
No, that's correct. They did not have any problem with the amount of staff that they had at this point. They didn't see this as something that would flood their department. Usually these investigations, they already have assigned individuals. It just allows them now to actually complete the process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Simpson. Any other questions? The chair will move that House File 3092 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety and Civil Justice. Is there any more discussion to the bill? I'm sorry. There's someone in the audience who would like to be heard. Please come up and please state your name for the record and...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pam Perry Weaver. I'm the Executive Vice President of the Builders Association of Minnesota. We represent the residential construction industry in the state. We'd like to thank Representative Medor for bringing this bill forward. As I testified in the Consumer Protection and Labor Committee earlier last week, the industry has some concerns about this bill, but we are certainly willing to work with the Department of Labor and Industry. Our concern is that when a builder is in the midst of a lawsuit, with a homeowner. And you give the Department of Labor and Industry the ability to continue their investigation. The really only big hammer that the Department of Labor and Industry has is to withdraw a builder's license. Or tell the builder, you must fix this or we're going to take away your license. When we're in a lawsuit, the insurance company will tell us, you better not go fix that until we've completed our investigation. So we're in a little bit of a catch-22 in this circumstance. We talked with Charlie Nuremberg at the Department of Labor and Industry. He says he's willing to work with us in this bill. But if we find that this circumstance continues to in the next year, we will be back to talk to you about the problems that this bill may have caused. So,
thank you, Ms. Weaver. Any questions for Ms. Weaver? Representative Zettler.
Thank you, Ms. Shirley. Ms. Perry Weaver, my concern, too, is that the homeowner, the person in the middle of this, you know, the middle of the fights between the lawyers, the insurance, the whatnot, that's my concern. Somebody's kitchen's going to, you know, we've all seen the stories on Pick Your News Channel about somebody's kitchen being torn apart and then left. And, you know, my concern, and if that's what you're following through with, Representative Madore, I appreciate that because that's my main concern. And we're going to see folks who's either home or garage or addition, you know, stays empty. And in the long run, yes, we want good policy. We want to help hold people accountable. We want everybody to get what they want. But again, it's the person who's looking to have their basement, kitchen, whatever, finished. And if you have assurances as you go through the process, that would be great. Greatly appreciated from our standpoint as well. And it was a big concern for us moving out of this committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any final words?
Yes, I misspoke on the last committee. This bill was heard, and I apologize for that. It was consumer protection. It wasn't the property tax division. That was another bill. But no, at this point, again, I worked with the department with this, came back, and this truly is consumer protection at its most basic. And the consumer has the right. We pay taxes for this department to operate. We have the right to get information from it if it's available. And I just think that we need to always be erring on the side of giving the consumer the benefit of a department's experience and ability to issue that report. So thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Madore. The Chair renews his motion that House File 3092 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety and Civil Justice. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Bill passes.
Thank you very much.
You're on your way.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Johnson, I've seen these minutes in your hands quite a while, and you were studying them. And so, thank you, Representative Johnson. All those in favor of the minutes, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Minutes are approved. Representative Dominguez, I'm sorry, we're kind of jumping, and is Representative... I kind of pledged that I would have Representative Western. He's coming? Okay, good. I know Representative Lane's out there as well. Representative Dominguez, please tell us about your bill and when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 2721.
Thank you. So we have Representative Dominguez... bill before us. Go ahead and
I'll explain a little bit about the bill, and then I'll have these professionals here detail it in for you. House File 2721 is a bill that limits the way which health care providers can solicit auto accident victims. It's the continuation of the efforts to eliminate an unethical form of insurance fraud known as the use of runners. And so I have two gentlemen here will talk about it and take the questions if you choose, Mr. Chair.
Sounds great. Please say your name for the record and go ahead when you're ready, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Cork Holton, and I represent the Minnesota Chiropractic Association. The bill you have before you is kind of a continuation of an effort that's been taking place over a number of years, and it deals with the unethical form of insurance fraud known as the use of runners. And in recent years, a very small number of healthcare providers, lawyers, and unlicensed individuals have been recruiting accident victims, as well as people who hadn't even been involved in an accident, to engage in unnecessary or even fictitious treatment for the purpose of generating unjustified insurance claims. These people were either paid fees or they got a slice of the action. Unfortunately, in addition to the fraud, recent immigrants and people with limited proficiency in the English language were often used as pawns in this game. In 2002, we passed the first piece of legislation amending the criminal code, criminalizing the activities of these recruiters and the others involved in the scam. After the passage of the 2002 legislation, this type of fraud can still exist when unscrupulous professionals directly engage prospective patients for fraudulent purposes. Accident reports and other information sources are readily available to create a pool of people to solicit. In order to close this avenue, House File 2721 proposes that in the limited area of auto accidents, direct contact of injured parties by healthcare professionals for the purpose of influencing that person to undertake treatment will constitute an unethical practice, subjecting them to the various forms of enforcement under their licensing board. Certain clarifications and exceptions that are necessary to protect activity that's clearly ethical are also contained in the bill. And I will now turn it over to somebody who's much more...
Thank you, Mr. Holton.
Mr. Chair, I failed to do something before we had the discussion. I have two oral amendments that I want to put on the bill. On line 2.0, second page, where it states the benefits of, and I want to change it to licensed health care providers, cross out chiropractic. And on line 2.11, where it states...
Mr. Chair, would you have me start over? I'm not seeming to find a 2.0 on my...
2.10.
Okay. All right.
Representative, since then I was with you as well, and I was helped by staff, so I was lucky. Please restate it, Representative Dominguez.
Okay, and on page 2.10, where it states the benefits of license... this is what I want to insert. Licensed health care providers. Cross out chiropractic.
Okay, does everybody have that? Okay, go ahead.
On line 2.11, where it states three, contact with friends and relatives, where it says comma, of the provider.
Before the comment, Representative?
Yes.
So restate that one more time, please, sir.
Contact with friends or relatives of the provider.
And then the comma.
Sure. I'd like to move those oral amendments.
Okay. Any questions? Any discussion on those oral amendments? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Okay, so we have your... A bill is amended before us. Mr. Holton, you're done, and then Mr. Crabtree, I believe, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to speak with you today. I'm a chiropractor and an attorney, and I also have an MBA. I'm actually engaged in the practice of law for 20 years and also run a national online billing service. If you review this issue, you'll find a Supreme Court case called Peach versus the Chiropractic Board Minnesota Chiropractic Board, and I actually was the expert witness in that case that wrote the opinion that doing in-person solicitations was ethical. Now, that's been a few years, and now I'd have to conclude that I think that there's something that needs to be done in this area, and this bill is the answer. I'm a big First Amendment guy, but the problem is that there's more and more in-person solicitations occurring in this market. A lot of hard selling going on, and there is some illegalities that are not being caught by the authorities. Also, there is an ethnic component to this, and it appears that there are certain ethnic communities that are being pursued and taken advantage of. Often there's independent contractors that call themselves interpreters or marketers that are hired by the clinics to go out there. This is a problem that's been seen in other states. For instance, in Florida, they've dealt with this issue and come up with a similar provision to the law that we're recommending here. But in addition to that, they've actually made it a criminal offense for anybody to directly solicit with a 2-year prison term if they do so. And I believe the provision is rightly, it should be applied to all health care providers and not just certain professions. Take any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crabtree. Spent a fair amount of time in school, it appears, huh?
I'm not real smart.
Well, got a lot of things hanging out of your wall, so that's good.
Yeah.
sorry. That's a compliment. Anybody else like to be heard on this bill? Can we question for here, or can I put this check on the other side first to see if that's okay, sir? Anybody else? Representative Burns. We'll come up here then. Thank you,
Mr. Chair. I have one question. Dr. Crabtree, it appears you're half as smart as I am because I'm a lawyer, but my wife is a chiropractor.
Oh.
So, just one question. I'm well adjusted. I'm very lucky to be married to a chiropractor, actually. I have a simple question. It's just, what is the board position on this bill, the chiropractic board?
Well, the chiropractic board has. You want to go ahead on that?
You want to just,
Mr. Holton? Going by signals from the audience, I'm told that the board is thumbs up with this. One other thing I didn't add. I represent the Chiropractic Association, so normally you might expect me to be showing up on a bill like this in opposition for revenue stream reasons, but a few bad apples really can destroy the image of an entire profession, and we feel very strong that we need to do something about this situation.
Thank you. Any further questions, Representative Burns?
No, thank you.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I need a little help here on 211, where you put this in your amendment. Contact with friends or relatives of the provider or statements made in a social setting. Should that be of the provider or of the person or the patient?
Representative Dominguez or testifiers?
Yes, I can answer that. That came from Health Research, and they told me that would be the language to install there, so that's why we use that.
Representative Simpson?
It's not registering, so I'll think about it.
Mr. Pender, maybe we could get you to come back and help us for a second here. Mr. Simpson, Representative Simpson, can you maybe restate your question, and then Mr. Pender could probably offer some insight.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pender, could you just give me a little breakdown of your intentions there on line 211 and with the terminology of the provider in there.
Mr. Penner. Chair and Representative Simpson, that oral amendment was a suggestion from me, because when I read it, contact with friends or relatives, I wondered if that might refer to the victims, so that, in other words, you could, that this would allow contact with friends or relatives of the victim, and I suggested that I thought that probably the intent was to have it be contact with friends or relatives of the provider, so that's the healthcare provider, so that's why I suggested adding the words of the provider there to clarify that you couldn't solicit friends or relatives of the victim, that the law wouldn't be permitting that.
Okay. All right. I understand where you're going. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pender. And any other questions for the... Seeing none, would you like to renew your motion? Or?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair. I'd like to renew my motion to pass on House File 2721.
As amended?
As amended.
And be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Your bill is passed.
Thank you, members and committee chair.
Okay. Representative Westrom? My apologies. I was down with you in public safety, and we both went different directions, and so we had a couple people, as you can imagine, this time of year that are moving around pretty fast in and out, and thank you for your allowing us to move the schedule.
No problem, Mr.
Thank you,
Chairman.
Mr. Chair, I hope my bill didn't cause you to go part ways.
That was a very exciting highlight of the day, and thank you for that.
You're lucky I didn't take it all the way.
Mr. Chairman, as you know, there's always plenty to do in the office. So.
Thank you, sir.
On
the chair, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Representative Zellers,
I was going to move House File 766 for Representative Westrom.
Thank you, sir. Your Representative Westrom, your bill has been moved and is before us. Please go ahead when you're ready, sir.
Mr. Chair, members, I think this can be quite brief. Was there two letters that the pages copied and handed out?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
They're letters from last year, Mr. Chair. We had this bill in front of us. It didn't make it through the House floor. So I just reprinted them. There's two.
Let me peek around and make sure everybody kind of has them in their packets. Representative Zellers?
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I would also at this time move the DE1 amendment to put the bill in the order the author would like.
Okay, thank you. Everybody has that, looks like. Representative Zellers has moved the amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment adopted. So we have your bill before us as amended.
Mr. Chair, the amendment basically just updated the dates dealing with this year instead of last year, but essentially this is the blending pump bill. The letters you've got are ones from a station owner, ones from a manufacturer and a retailer that sells pump equipment to Representative Simpson or other people that have a gas station. And one of the components they sell is a blending pump valve and the components that would go with that. Essentially, a blending pump is one that the consumer could pull up to the pump and choose their blend of ethanol in their gasoline or biodiesel. Since last year, and I understand that the biodiesel right now actually could use a blending pump without any federal law waivers, but ethanol needs a federal law waiver. What this bill does is just cleans up our statutes. It was brought to my attention by our Senex owner or manager in my hometown at Elba Lake. And he said, well, they tell me the state law doesn't allow us to put blending pumps in when they were looking at putting blending. I said, that's ridiculous. I can't believe they wouldn't. Well, in fact, our laws wouldn't allow for blending pumps of ethanol at stations, and it's not intentional. It's just the way we've written statutes haven't thought or had the foresight of a blending pump of an E20, E30, E40, etc. It's an E85 and E10. So what this does is just changes our statutes to be more neutral on specific blend of proportions, but also directs our department staff to seek a waiver from the federal government. Under the Clean Air Act, they don't allow blends other than E10 and E85. We are also seeking the waiver for the E20 bill that passed a few years ago. So this would proactively try to deal with our statutes, proactively ask our department staff year-round to be actively trying to get a waiver from the federal government, and hopefully it would put pressure on, and I understand there is some potential movement on the federal government side, the EPA, that maybe would fix this. But if they do fix it, I don't want our state laws to be standing in the way of selling different blends to consumers in the state of Minnesota. And so, Mr. Chair, I think it really is a non-controversial bill, and potentially would be a consent calendar bill, but you can decide where you want to track it. I urge your support.
Representative Westrom, yes, we'd be happy to send it to the House floor. So, any questions? Anybody else like to be heard on this bill from the crowd? I don't see anybody. Do you have any other witnesses?
I don't, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any questions up here? Representative Paulson?
Mr. Chairman, there's the motion to put it on the consent calendar. I mean, I'll modify the motion to do that. I mean, that's fine. If you're willing to, I mean, that's fine. And if there's a problem, I'm sure that we can talk to Chair Atkins and, you know, with Representative Westrom, not put it on the consent calendar if that's okay with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to send it to the House floor? I'm sorry.
I'll renew my motion, Mr. Chairman, for House File 766 as amended, remove the House floor.
All those in favor of the bill before us, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? You're on your way to the House floor, sir.
All right.
Thank you for your tolerance. Representative Lane, we're kind of bouncing around here. Oh, he is. Okay. Representative Lane, the chair will move your House File 3085, be recommended to pass, and sent to the House floor.
And there is also an amendment.
Okay.
Do you have that?
Does everybody have the amendment?
Yeah.
A1 amendment?
Yes.
The chair will also offer the A1 amendment. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Those opposed? Amendment is added.
Thank you.
Go ahead and present your bill when you're ready.
Thank you. Under current law, a homeowner's warranty is an implied warranty. It's in the statute. It's hidden in those 12 volumes somewhere. But what we'd like to do is make it a written warranty that is given along with the construction contract provided to the homeowner. So that means that they have the terms of the warranty right in their hand and they know it exists and they're more likely to be aware of it. And it also provides that the warranty cannot be waived by contract or otherwise. We don't have any further disagreement with this amendment. I believe that we have the builders on board and there's no objection to this.
Okay. Looks like we have someone that would like to come forward. Is it Ms. Weaver again? Please state your name for the record and go ahead when you're ready.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pam Perry Weaver. I'm the Executive Vice President of the Builders Association of Minnesota. We represent the residential construction industry in the state. We are very much in favor of this bill. We think it's important that builders not only use contracts, but in their contracts, make sure that the contract explicitly states that there's a warranty involved in the transaction between a builder and a homeowner. So we think this will really help, and we appreciate it being brought forward.
Thank you, Ms. Weaver. Anybody else like to be heard on this bill? Seeing none. Any questions up here? Any final comments? Representative?
I think it's a simple bill and logical, and let's go.
Don't we all think our bills are simple and straightforward and logical? Well, I hope. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Sorry, I was supposed to say first. The chair renews his motion that House File 3085, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to House floor. So, aye. Thank you. I'm no Joe Atkins, that's for sure.
Mr. Chairman, I talked with the committee administrator about adding a bill to the agenda today. I think it's still being printed and copied. Slight adjustment to the no-fault insurance law, and we're going to have, I think there's a couple of folks from the insurance industry here in the crowd, and we're just going to bring some of the information down. I think John's familiar with the bill, and he's got it worked up. So we're going to bring it down. I think it should be here. Probably, maybe if we can take Representative Shumper first, then
okay.
After that I'll be ready to present.
Sounds great. Representative Shumper? Atrazine?
Get another bill added to the agenda?
The question is, Mr. Chair, is do you want to ban it this week or next week?
I don't think we'll be touching that here today or tomorrow. The chair will move the House File 3582 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. You have no amendments, I see, or?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Go ahead and present your bill, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Ken Shumper. This is a bill dealing with flood insurance members, and I have here with me Mr. Sexton from the Commerce Department. One of the things we ran into in the flood work that we did last August and since then is that a lot of people thought they had home insurance coverage, and they thought part of it was flood insurance, and they came to find out they didn't have any flood insurance. And Commerce approached me about this bill that they would like to have here to help clarify that for people. And I think if you read through it, you can quickly see that it simply tells insurance agents and insurers that you have to make it really clear and explicit to homeowners that when you buy a policy, if it doesn't say you have flood insurance, you don't have flood insurance. And they have to do it on a regular basis. And perhaps Mr. Sexton could talk to that a little bit.
Thank you, Mr. Sexton. Sorry. Go ahead and state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Pat Sexton from the Department of Commerce. Representative Trump laid it out very well. At the end of the day, what we want to accomplish is to make sure that for those who do not live in a floodplain, we want them to know that they are able to buy flood insurance. Some people were told by their agents that you don't live in a floodplain, therefore you can't buy flood insurance, and that's not accurate.
Right.
With one caveat, unless you're in one of the relatively few communities in Minnesota that does not adhere to the federal program. So we hope it's fairly simple and clarifying and make it clear to people what their options are.
Thank you. Representative, is there anybody else that'd like to be heard on this? Are you aware of? Or
not that I'm aware of. No.
Anybody else out there? Any questions up here for the author or the testifier? Any final comments?
Well, I haven't had time to put it together, but there might be some subsequent legislation to this, and that it's really important. The whole thing with flood insurance is really tricky in that even if you do have flood insurance does not cover anything in your basement. Flood insurance only gives you coverage if it goes in the first floor of your house. Yeah, I know, Mr. Chair, it's really an amazing discovery that many people unfortunately discovered, and so perhaps subsequently I'll come back with some additional legislation to this, but basically this is just to tell people that unless it says it really clear and explicitly in your policy, you don't have insurance, and the insurance agents, flood insurance, and the insurance agents have to tell you that every year or when they write the policy initially. So,
Representative Simpson?
Just a question, and maybe it's for Mr. Saxton, but are other states doing this, and are the is this going to be the responsibility of the insurance company or the responsibility of the seller of the insurance?
Mr. Sexton?
Mr. Chair, Representative Simpson, actually required in here also is 3 hours of continuing education, so it's up to the agent to learn what the policy is. be familiar with the federal program, the federal flood program. I do believe other states are looking at, either have passed or are looking at similar language to this.
Representative Simpson?
Well, I guess just to that point, that, you know, I don't have a problem with what you're doing. I just hope the insurance industry doesn't just add another $10 or $20 onto the cost of insurance for every household that has to have this mandate really put on them. So that'd be my concern, is just is there going to be another cost or not?
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none. Where are we? On the wrong side here, sorry. The chair renews his motion that House File 3582 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Mr. Shumper, you're on your way to the House floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Junkie?
Yes.
The chair moves that House File 3289 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. Mr. Junkie, go ahead when you're
Thank you, Mr. Ready. Chair. We'll be brief because I know everyone wants to get out of here. This is a bill for auctioneers. I have auctioneers in my district. They asked me to carry the bill, and I got an auctioneer here to explain his auctioneer bill. So I'll stop and let him do it.
I was told I had to be fast, and we can talk fast, so I'll make it so. Mr. Chairman, my name is Kirk Johnson. I'm with the Minnesota State Auctioneers Association. I'm on the legislative committee. This bill, real quickly, auctioneers are frequently hired by nonprofits to work at their fundraisers, to do what auctioneers do, ask for money. The Attorney General's Office became aware of an auctioneer who was asking for money at a nonprofit and broadly interpreted this law stating that they needed to register as a professional fundraiser. We had a meeting with the Attorney General's Office here a few weeks ago, and they graciously spent an hour and a half with us to explain their concerns. We came up with a compromise, and we came up with this language. What this language simply does is states that if an auctioneer is properly licensed and bonded, if they don't touch the money at the fundraiser, and they conduct themselves as an auctioneer, they're exempt from the registration. I'll take any further questions.
Oh. Pretty good.
10%.
10%.
More money than we ever make.
Representative Junkie, anybody else?
That's it.
Are you aware?
It's pretty straightforward, Mr. Chair. I don't know of any opposition to it, and it's really a correction that we're doing.
Representative Simpson?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Representative Junkie. I think all of us in every one of our communities has auctioneers, and they're constantly doing these for benefits and churches and all kinds of things. I know in my community it's done all the time, so I think it's a good cleanup and a good way to solve a problem that could be bigger than it is. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, the chair will renew his motion that House File 3289 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Your bill passes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr.
Representative Tingle?
Mr. Chair, would it be appropriate to start with the no-fault bill now, or do you want to wait for Senator Tilbury?
You can prepare your witnesses. That looks like a good one. I'm ready. We did make it clear that when the cat was away.
You know what? I apologize. I was wrong. This is Representative Tilbury's bill, Mr. Chairman, and the chair didn't want you to get through this without a little bit of sweat in the palm. So we'll delay the no-fault repeal bill for maybe another day, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I very much appreciate it. As you can tell, I'm having enough problems. Representative Tilbury, first off, I just want to say thank you for your words today, and it's very appreciated, and speaking up for the family and speaking up for all of us, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Would you like to move your bill, sir?
Yes, I'd like to move my bill, House File number 3306. It's a riveting read, let me tell you. You'll want to take this home. It is a technical bill, and it's by the Department of Commerce is bringing it to us. It's regarding the Minnesota Securities Act, and I have a couple things I want to say about it, if possible, and then I'm hopeful that it'll be moved on to the House floor.
Okay, well, thank you. We have Representative Tilbury has moved his bill before us. Thank you. Go ahead when you're ready, sir.
Okay. First of all, the Minnesota Securities Act was enacted in 2006 and provides the framework for regulating the offer and sale of securities, as well as people working in the securities industry. The act is based on the Uniform Securities Act of 2002, and when it became effective in 2007, it replaced Minnesota existing security laws. House File 3306, the bill before you today, seeks to do several things, and this really gets interesting now. Number one, it replaces generic provisions taken from the Uniform Act with Minnesota-specific provisions. Number two, it removes references to those securities professionals who are not subject to the provisions of the Act as adopted by Minnesota. And number three, restores certain registration exemptions that were available under the predecessor Act. Number four, I know you're with me, but number four requires certain issuers to provide notice to the Department of their transaction. And then my favorite, which is number five, corrects minor errors like typos, mistakes, cross-references, etc. And I do have Pat Sexton here from the Minnesota Department of Commerce if anyone wants to ask any questions.
Any questions for the author or Mr. Sexton? Okay. Anybody else like to be heard on this bill? I haven't seen anybody else. Any questions up here at the table? Representative Burns?
I didn't have a question, but I'll ask one.
Okay.
No, I didn't have a question.
Oh, I...
You just thought I did. I can come up with one.
With your very...
I do. Representative Tilbury, according to Regulation D, what is an accredited investor?
I'm glad you asked that question.
Representative Tilbury?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm glad that you asked that question, Representative Burns. And I'm going to direct that right to Mr. Sexton to answer that for you.
Mr. Sexton?
I believe it's defined in the bill, Representative Burns.
It's not. It's not. It's the Federal Securities Act, Section 33. But I'll get my question answered elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Burns. Any further questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Wait, sorry.
Yeah, almost. Renew my motion.
Representative Tilbury renews his motion that House File 3306 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Bill passes. Anyway. Thank you, everyone. We're adjourned until next Tuesday.